We don't do it to have big bank accounts, all the different things that are there. We do it for the glory of God. Amen. Grab your Bible, Psalms 130. Psalms 130. I know it was raining this morning. I know some people probably didn't sleep all that well because of the rain. How many of you sleep really good when it rains? I sleep great when it rains. And any of you don't sleep when it rains? Depends on the type of rain, right? you don't sleep at all except for in church. And Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Welcome back. You've been gone 2 weeks. Psalms 130. Man, I'm glad you're in church this morning. I'm glad Lorraine led up. I'm glad we're able to focus on the Word of God. I've got a truth for you I want to help you with this morning. And hopefully we can get it across. Psalms 130, when you get there, stand with me. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's just 8 verses. I love the book of Psalms. I was sharing with the group from Tri-State. We came back to the church Wednesday night after we finished eating and came back and helped them break down their display and everything. Began talking with all the different ones, asked each one of them what their life verse was and talking to them about different things as far as ministry is concerned. And several of them, the majority of their life verses were found in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And it was pretty interesting to see that, and I was sharing with them. Psalms teaches us how to walk with God. Proverbs teaches us how to walk with man. And all throughout the book of Psalms, we're going to find truths on how we can walk with God and how we can do the things that God intends for us to do. And so here in Psalms 130, you're going to notice the psalmist is going through a struggle, going through a hard time, and he's praying and begging God for something, but he's got to learn patience in his life. He's got to learn how to wait on God. So the title of the message this morning is How to Wait on the Lord. How to wait on the Lord. We don't like to be told to wait. Many of us, we live in this world of instant gratification, and we want what we want, and we want it when we want it. We want it now. And if it doesn't happen when we want it to happen, we go and we make it happen. And that's oftentimes the way we live our lives, but that's not how we should live our Christian life. As we walk with God, as we spend time reading the Word of God, as we spend time praying, we understand God's going to allow His will to happen in His timing and on His timetable, not on ours. So here, let's read this passage. Verse 1, it says, Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Again, I'm going to preach a message entitled, How to Wait on the Lord. There's 4 truths I want to show you out of this passage. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that the Word of God is relevant to everything that we face in life. Lord, this is not an outdated book. It's not just an ancient manuscript, Lord. It is very relevant to today, very relevant to society, very relevant to our Christian life. And Lord, just like the psalmist was crying out to You and begging for different things, Lord, we cry out often. Lord, but I fear we don't cry out as often as we should. Many times we go through the Christian life and instead of praying and depending on You, we just do it all in our own strength. Lord, help us to trust in You. Help us, Lord, to rely on You. Help us, Lord, to spend that time waiting on the Lord. And begging and seeking after Your will for our lives. Use us, guide us, please. Teach us these truths. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I was talking to Brother Yancey on Wednesday night, and I'd already had my message prepared for this morning, and we were talking about some different things as far as waiting on the Lord's will and discussing the Lord's will, and I was sharing with him something that a preacher had told me many years ago, and it's this simple truth. You pray because it all depends on God, but you work like it all depends on you. And we understand we're going to work as hard as we possibly can to do the things that we need to do in the work of God and in the ministry, but we got to pray as hard as we can as well, because nothing in the ministry can be done outside the power of the Holy Ghost of God and outside of God getting involved in the work. Listen, we can take and run events and we can schedule programs and we can do all these different things, but if God doesn't show up, we've wasted our time. And here the psalmist is seeking after God. He's begging for God to do a work here in his life. And we see that throughout this passage, he's waiting for the Lord. And we're going to point out many different aspects as we get through the different verses. Let's go ahead and jump to the message. The first thing I want you to notice here in verses 1 and 2, as we wait on the Lord, as we wait on God's timing, as we wait on God's direction, as we wait on God's discernment in our lives, we need to understand, number one, that our cries are to be directed to the Lord. Our cries are to be directed to the Lord. You see, oftentimes we go through problems in our lives and we go through trials in our lives, and all we want to do is we want to gripe and complain to anybody and everybody that'll listen in our lives, rather than going to the one that can actually take care of the problem, and that is God Himself. You see, we spend a lot of time going to everybody else and seeking other men's opinions and seeking other men's advice, but how much time do we really go to our God and seek His advice? Here, verse number 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Notice how he's crying. Notice the intensity with which he's crying with. We see here first in verse 1, the depths from which our pleas arise. He says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. You see, sometimes in our Christian life, God is going to allow us to get to what we call rock bottom so that we can be able to reach out to him like we should. You see, if we would reach out to God in the beginning, we wouldn't have to go all the way down to the bottom of the problem. We wouldn't have to go all the way to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. We wouldn't have to hit rock bottom if we'd actually spend time seeking after God the way that we should. But sometimes God's got to knock us flat on our back just so that we can look up in the Christian life. You see, many times we go through trials and we go through heartaches and we think because of our experience we know how to handle certain things, when in reality God's trying to teach us something. God's trying to do a work. We go through a hard time in our Christian life. We begin to have health problems. We begin to have mental anxiety. We begin to have all these different issues. And the first thing that we begin to hear from everybody in the world is, you need to go see somebody. You need to go see a psychiatrist. You need to go see a counselor. You need to go to this. You need to go do this. You need to talk to somebody. And the reality is, you've got the best person that you can to be able to talk to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God in heaven who cares about us, and a God in heaven who loves us, and a God in heaven who showed us how to conquer everything in our life. And listen, our theme for the year isn't just a banner that we put up on the screen. Our theme for the year is more than conquerors. Listen, that ought to be a way of life for how we live this Christian life. That we are more than conquerors. We don't have to live a life of defeat, but we can live a life of victory, as we've been covering in our Sunday school lessons. But here our cries, as we're going through trials, or we're going through hard times, or we're going through different things, as we're spending time in prayer, our cries are to be directed to the Lord. Let me ask you this week, how many times this week did you cry out to God? How many times this week did you go to somebody else and seek their opinion versus going to God and seeking His opinion? How many times did you go to your Heavenly Father and you begin to pour out your heart to Him, and you begin to pour out your passion to Him? You begin to tell Him all the different things that are going on in your life. Do we spend time in prayer like we should? I fear many times in our Christian life we go to everybody else that'll listen, but God is just a knee bend away. He's just a prayer away. All we've got to do is open our voice and talk to our Heavenly Father. You say, but I can't go to God. Why not? Have your sins put some animosity between you and God? Are His ears stopped up because of your iniquities? Is it that we know that there's things going on in our lives and that God won't hear us because of how we're living? That we just feel better talking to somebody else rather than going to the God of heaven? Here, the psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God. O Lord. We see the depths from which our pleas arise. Sometimes God's going to have to knock you on your back. Sometimes God's going to have to knock you off your high horse in order to get your attention. You look at the Apostle Paul. Remember, the Apostle Paul was going around persecuting Christians. And then remember, a bright light shone from heaven. He was knocked off his horse. He was blinded. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And immediately Saul says, Lord, because he knew who was talking to him, what will thou have me to do? You see, Saul had gotten to the point where he was going to do his own thing until God knocked him flat on his back. Woe unto us if we get to that point in our Christian life where we're going to do what we want to do until God begins to knock us down. That's a hard place to be in your Christian life. But I fear, brother, that many Christians are there. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do things their way. Like the old rock song, I got to do it my way or no way at all. Some of you older folks will know that. God forgive me. Lord help us. But there's the Christian life. Many people say, I'm going to do this the way that I want to do it, or we're not going to do it. Well, the reality is you can't live the Christian life your way. You've got to live the Christian life God's way. And if we're going to have God's blessings, they're going to be according to God's terms. Are you listening? Here, we've got to cry out to God. During our problems, during our trials, as we're waiting on God, we don't need to go to everybody else that's in our life, but rather our cries need to be directed to the Lord. We see in verse 1, again, the depths from which our pleas arise. In verse 2, we see the heights to which our prayers ascend. You see, we may be in the depths, but our God's still in heaven. We may be in a hard spot, but our God's still sitting on His throne. We may be in a difficult situation, and we may be underneath all the pressure in the world, but realize we serve a God who still walks on water. We serve a God who's still above the clouds. We serve a God who's still sitting on His throne in heaven. Praise God. Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You see, David knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the God of heaven. He knew that his prayers were reaching up to the highest points into the heavens. You see, no matter where you are, you're never too far away from God to be able to reach you. Think about that truth. He was in the depths, but God was in heaven. Yet God still heard him. God still heard his voice. God still heard his prayer. God still heard his cry. You can even go to Psalm chapter 40. We were in a pit. We were in the miry clay. But what happened? God lifted us up and put us on a rock. Amen. I'm so thankful I didn't have to go to where he was, but rather he chose to come to me. And I thank God for that. But the reality is this. When we're going through our hard times, no matter where you're at in your Christian life, you can be in the deepest depths of the sea. You can be in the deepest problems in your life. The reality is if you're praying to God and you've got an honest heart with God, and you're reaching out to our Heavenly Father, He's going to hear you. Amen. We understand the heights to which our prayers ascend. You see, we may be in the depths, but our God's still sitting on the throne. We may be sinking in the storm, but He's still above it. I think of Peter as he was still the only human being other than Jesus Christ to be able to walk on water. And even though he began to sink, understand that he was far enough away from the boat that he couldn't cry back to the disciples to reach him. Remember, he was close enough to Jesus Christ that all he had to do was cry out, Lord, help! And God immediately raised him up and grabbed him and lifted him up out of his problems. You see, in our Christian life, we need to be so close to God that no matter where we're at, he's able to be there for us. Here, our cries are to be directed to the Lord. Secondly, I want you to notice in verses 3 and 4, our cleansing is to be received from the Lord. As we're waiting on God, we cry out to God, but understand, not only are we crying out to God, but our cleansing is going to be coming from God as well. Our cleansing is to be received. Notice verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Notice here, we see the primary reasons to God. You see, God doesn't keep record of our sins. What does the Bible say? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? So here the psalmist says, God, if you want to, you can keep track of who's done what. If you wanted to, you can keep a tally of all the different things that I've done in my life. By the way, God is an omniscient God. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. But when God saved you, He chose to forget your sin. You realize that, right? That's the kind of God that we serve. He doesn't bring up the sin. He doesn't bring up the past. The devil brings up the past. In our minds, we bring up our past. But God has forgiven us, and He's chosen to forget it. He's chosen to only see the blood of Jesus Christ. But here it says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? See, God doesn't take and keep a tally mark and a list. Well, there's so-and-so doing that again. He doesn't keep record of sins, But what does he keep record of? Well, the Bible says over in the book of Revelation, the Bible says over in, and also in the book of Psalms, that God keeps a record of names of those who are saved. Amen. They're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. So here we understand that God doesn't just record all the sins in our lives, because we wouldn't be able to stand before God for that. But God is interested in recording the names of those that have trusted Him for salvation. Praise God. The most important thing is not what you've done. The most important thing is your name written in His book. We've all come from different walks of life. We've all experienced different things. But the reality is, if your name's not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to die and go to hell. And you'll spend an eternity in hell with the devil and his angels. And by the way, you were never meant to go there. And here we choose. We choose to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hey, glad you made it today. Verse 3 says, "The Lord should mark iniquities. O Lord, who shall stand?" See, our cleansing's to be received from the Lord. The primary reason to God is that He keeps no record of sin, but rather He keeps a record of those who are saved. And then look at verse 4. We see the pivotal relationship with God. It says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." You see, forgiveness from God is not based on us. Man, get this in your Christian life. It'll help you so much. Forgiveness from God has absolutely nothing to do with who we are. It has to do with who He is. Forgiveness from God is dependent upon God's reputation. God is one who forgives. He is one who loves. He is one who redeems. And when He chooses to forgive us of our sin, listen, if He were to take and bring our sin back up to us and dangle that over us and try to, and then choose to take our salvation away from us, that would ruin the reputation of God, wouldn't it? Because God is a forgiving God. God is a just God. God is a holy God. You see, God always deals in a righteous manner. Forgiveness from God is based on His reputation, not based on my reputation. Praise God for that. But then notice, it says there's forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. You see, forgiveness from God is based on His reputation, but our fear of God is based on our relationship with God. Notice here, there's forgiveness with God. It says, that thou mayest be feared. Why did God forgive us our sin? Why did God redeem us? Why did God save us? You go back to the time and place in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Why did God save you? So that you would spend time with Him. So that you would fellowship with Him. God didn't just save you just to take you to heaven when you die. If that was the only purpose and the only intention of God saving you, God would have taken you to heaven immediately when you got saved. But God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. God has left us here for a reason. God saved us for fellowship. You go all the way back to the first mentioned principle in the Bible. You go back to the Garden of Eden and the first sacrifice that was made for mankind. Why did God sacrifice an animal and clothe Adam and Eve? Well, He come down in Genesis chapter 3 because He was trying to pursue the relationship with Adam. He was walking with God in the cool of the day. He was having a relationship with Adam every single day from the time that He created him on. In Genesis chapter 2, it tells us that. And then Adam chooses to sin. Eve was deceived. Adam chooses to sin in Genesis chapter number 3. And the Bible says that God still came down in the cool of the day and He asked Adam, "Where art thou?" God still wanted to walk with man. God couldn't walk with man. Because man had sinned and it was a disconnect between God and man. So what did He do? He provided a sacrifice. He provided a way of salvation. He provided a redemption, bloodshed. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness. And here, the Bible says in verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with thee." Why? "That thou mayest be feared." Remember, I've shared this with you before, time and time again. The fear of God is simply this. It's not us being afraid of God. It's us recognizing His presence in our lives. The fear of God is us recognizing that He is right there with us in our lives. And He wants to walk with us. And He wants to be with us. So here, forgiveness comes in our lives. This is based on His reputation. Why? "That thou mayest be feared." That's based on our relationship of wanting to walk with God. Our fear of God determines our walk with God. You see, if you have the recognition and the proper fear of God, recognizing that His presence is ever with you, you're not going to have a problem walking with God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? That's what it says in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How do we learn things? We learn things because we recognize that God's presence is with us. And if God's presence is with us, then God's power is also going to be with us. Here, it's based on our relationship with God. You see, forgiveness comes from God, but fear of God comes from us toward God. It's not us being afraid of God. It's us having a healthy respect of who God is and recognizing His presence in our lives. God wants to walk with us. God wants to spend time with us. The whole reason that God, the Father, sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be the God, to be the Word of God in the flesh. He came and He dwelt among us, the Bible says. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We understand the whole reason Jesus Christ came was to reestablish the lost relationship between heaven and earth. Right? He built a bridge from man to God. How did He build it? With the cross of Calvary. We know this. Why was it? It was to restore the broken fellowship. To provide the only way of salvation to heaven. Here, forgiveness from God is based on His reputation. Fear of God is based on our relationship with Him. We've got to know that He is present. And by the way, this is when cleansing begins to happen in our lives. You see, when you realize that God is ever with you, and you recognize the presence of God in your life, guess what? It's going to cause you to sin less. It's going to cause me to sin less. When you tell your child to do something, and then you stand over your child until it gets done, guess what? They're going to do it a little bit faster. Right? But when you tell your kid to do something, and then you leave the room and walk off, they're still playing the video game because they didn't listen to what you said. They were not afraid. Yeah, he said it. Yeah, I'm praise God. He or she did not fear the authority. Why? Because the authority left. But if the authority were to stay there and say, hey, it's time to get up. Hey, it's time to do this. And you stand there, you're like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. They fear the authority. You see, if we recognize God's presence is ever with us in our lives, it will cause us to not pursue a life of sin. You see, if you recognize and realize the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and that God's presence is with you, you're not going to frequent the bar. Because you're going to realize God doesn't want to go there. Are you listening? Here, if we recognize that God's presence is in our lives, we're probably not going to watch certain things that we shouldn't be watching. Are we listening? We're probably not going to talk a certain way that we know we shouldn't be talking. We're probably going to clean up our speech because God doesn't want to hear the filthy language coming out of your mouth. Amen. Why is it we'll clean it up for our children, but we won't clean it up for God? Are you listening? Is God not more important? Amen. He's the one that saved you. Your child didn't save you, praise God. You see, there used to be a day and age where people respected certain places. There used to be a day and age where people respected the house of God and they wouldn't come into the house of God and yell explicatives. But now we see it more and more on a daily basis. People will curse out different people for different reasons. Why? Because there's no fear of God. There's no recognition of God's presence in their lives. But we as a child of God, we ought to be different. And if I recognize God's presence, it's got to cause me to live a life where I should strive to sin less than I did before. Now, that doesn't mean I live a sinless life. Don't get me wrong, please. We are still flesh. And we are still going to make mistakes. We are still going to have problems in our lives. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to trip and fall. I'm a clumsy person. I trip and fall regularly. You're still going to have issues. But the reality is, we ought to be striving to get better each and every day. Why? Because we recognize the presence of God in our lives. See, your fear of God is directly proportional to your relationship with God. If you're walking with God, you'll have a healthy fear of God. But if you don't open your Bible and you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you're not going to recognize God's presence in your life. It's very simple. I'm not a deep person at all. This is a very simple truth that we're given tonight. Our cleansing in the Christian life comes from the Lord, but it comes from us recognizing His presence in our lives. There is forgiveness with God, yes. Why? That He may be feared. Because God wants to be involved in our decisions. He wants to be involved in our lives. You see, sometimes when somebody does something wrong, say for instance, your child does something they shouldn't do, they'll get disciplined, they'll get in trouble for it, and what happens? We tell them that they've got to earn our trust back. Right? Which means we don't trust them by themselves anymore. It means they got to sit with us, they got to go with us, they got to do things with us. Why? Because you're trying to reestablish a relationship. Our spouse. Somebody commits an egregious sin in a marriage. Commits infidelity on their spouse. That trust is broken. So then that trust has to be rebuilt. Right? In the Christian life, our trust in God, God's never going to fail us. But our trust in God is going to be built by us spending time with God. Are you listening? The reality is God's never going to fail us. We're going to fail Him. But our trust is going to be developed when we're spending time like we should with the Lord. Here, our cry is to be directed to the Lord. Our cleansing is to be received from the Lord. Thirdly, I want you to notice verses 5 and 6. We see our conduct now is to be waiting on the Lord. As we're crying out to God, as we're trying to walk with God, as we're trying to live this Christian life, step by step and day by day, trying to do the things that God has intended for us to do, our conduct is to be one that waits on God. We need to develop this word in our lives that none of us like. Patience. We need to develop patience. By the way, patience is developed by consistent trusting. As we consistently trust in God, this is built verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. Look at verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. And I say more than they that watch for the morning. A little side thought here. I recognize this as we were reading through it during the introductory part. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Notice as he's waiting, he's busy in the Word of God. You see, in your Christian life, as you're praying to God and begging God to do different things, as you're waiting on God, we don't just pray and then go and do our own things and try to make things happen in our life. No, as we pray and we ask God to do different things, we've got to stay in His Word and allow Him to continue to speak to us and to mold us and to shape us and realize His answers are going to come, but they're going to come as we're seeking after Him. What does the Bible say? They that seek me shall find me, right? The Bible tells us time and time again to seek after the things of God, and God will reveal Himself in our lives. Our conduct is to be one who waits on the Lord. Notice the wait that is singular. Look at the first word of verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord. Notice it says, my soul doth wait. And in His word do I hope. Notice the personal pronouns that are being used. My soul waiteth for the Lord. It says, I say. Here, what's he doing? He's personalizing his walk with God. He's personalizing his relationship with God. You see, you can sit and pray for different things and pray for God to do a work. But listen, the problem in the Christian life is we want to go to everybody else and ask so-and-so to pray for us because they've got to walk with God. And the reality is we can walk with God just as well as they can walk with God. And we serve the same God that they serve. And God wants to have a relationship with us. But it's dependent on whether or not we want it. Here, this wait is singular. He said, I waited for the Lord. We don't know specifically what the psalmist is going through. We just know that he's going through something here. And we realize that he is by himself. and he is trusting wholly and completely in God. There's going to be times in your Christian life where you've got to face some battles, and sometimes you've got to face them alone. Are you listening? Now, we're all going to be here for each other, but there are some battles that God's going to have you face by yourself. And whether or not you have a walk with God and whether or not you have a relationship with God is going to determine whether or not you come out on the other side. I've heard a preacher say this before: God reserves His hardest battles for His strongest soldiers. And here, the psalmist saying, I waited for the Lord. Later on, just a few chapters later, I believe it's Psalms 142, the psalmist makes the statement that no man cared for my soul. Again, in a point in his life where he was all by himself. Young people, listen to me, please. When you get to the point in your life, you begin to make some different decisions, there's going to come a day and age where it's going to rely on your faith in God, not your mom and dad's faith. There's going to come a day where your trust in God and your relationship with God is what's going to make it through your life. Yes, your parents will be there to help in different situations, but there comes a point where we got to grow up and move out of the house, and we got to fly away from the nest. But in the Christian life, we never fly away from the nest of God. And we can't spend our lives riding the coattails of somebody else's walk with God. We've got to develop a relationship with God ourselves. We've got to walk with God. Here he said, I waited for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. He said, as I'm waiting on God, I'm trusting in His word. As I'm waiting on God, I'm seeking after His truths. As I'm waiting on God, I'm pursuing what He has for me. Brother Thoreau used to make this statement regularly, and we've talked about it even since he's retired. It is appalling how many times people will go through personal trials in their lives. They'll get diagnosed with cancer. They'll go through personal physical ailments. They'll go through trials. They'll go through issues with their families and their children. And then when they go through those trials, they choose not to come to church. They choose not to come to the house of God where God's people can pray with them and seek God's truth. They choose to try to fight the battle solo and on their own. There's no protection out there by ourselves. We've got to walk with, we've got to spend time with God. Here, he waited on the Lord, but what was he doing? He was seeking after God's word. You can go back to Psalms chapter 73, and you can go to the Psalm of Asaph, where Asaph was going through a hard time in his life. He said his feet had well nigh slipped. He was beginning to look at the world and see how the world was prospering and seeing all the things that were happening in the world. And then the Bible says down in verse number 17, until I went into the sanctuary. He said, my mind began to get engulfed and enwrapped in all the things of the world. I began to get mad at God. I began to question God. But then I went to the house of God. Then, he says, understood I their end. Because then I heard the word of God. Then I got into the Bible and I began to read the scriptures. And I began to find what God had for me. And I realized there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then I realized Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I realized the only way that I can have truth in my life is I've got to go to the Word of God. The only way that I can have full life in the abundant Christian life is I've got to get into the Word of God. The only way I can follow His way is I've got to get into the Word of God. The Bible says, and I don't want to butcher the verse, so I'll read it to you, over in Psalms chapter 37. No, chapter 27, verse number 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Here he says, teach me thy way. He doesn't say, teach me my way. I got a way. I've got my plans. But God, I'm going to put my plans to the side. I'm going to put my will to the side. God, teach me your way. How do I get His way? In the Word of God. Psalms 119, there's 176 verses. If you're reading the Word of God with us, that was our passage to read today. Has 176 verses. In all but two of those verses, the Word of God is mentioned. There's eight different words in that chapter that reference the Word of God. Statutes, judgments, testimonies, word, commandments. Way is one of those words that references the Word of God. You see, we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to walk with God. Our conduct is to be waiting on the Lord. Notice this wait was singular. Notice this wait is scriptural. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. He said, I wasn't hoping in what the doctor said. I wasn't hoping in what I heard on the news channel. I wasn't hoping in what all my friends had said. By the way, you look at the life of Job, the friends really didn't show up when they needed to, did they? No, they were discouragement more than they were a help. Here, what was the thing that got him hope in his life? It was the Word of God. You see, this world can't bring you hope. Only God can bring you hope. This world can't bring you a viable end to your suffering and your struggles. Only the Word of God can. We've got to get into the Word of God. You see, the wait is singular, but the wait is scriptural. You see, it's during the wait that God begins to mold us and shape us. You see, it's during the wait that as the clay is on the potter's wheel, it begins to get molded and shaped how He wants it. And then what does He do? He takes it and He puts it into a fire to help it to harden. What comes with that? Patience. You got to wait. When you have silver that's going through a refiner's fire, that silver and that gold, those precious metals are heated up to well over 2,500 degrees. And the dross has risen to the top and they scrape the infirmities or the impurities off the top. Why? To purify that gold. But that purifying process takes time. It takes patience. See, sometimes in your Christian life, God doesn't always answer your prayers the way you want because He's trying to purify you. There's a process that He's doing in your life. Sometimes I'm convinced God doesn't answer our prayers because we can't handle His answers. We can't handle the things that we're asking for. Sometimes we pray, God, if you just give me $1 million, I'd tithe. Well, sure you will. You don't tithe now. How are we going to tithe with things that we don't have? Amen. By the way, I don't know who tithes and doesn't tithe. I'm just stating it. Here, He says in His Word, do I hope? The wait is singular, the wait is scriptural. Notice thirdly, the wait is steadfast. Notice what He says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. He says, more than those that are watching for the morning watch. Those were those that were staying up. They were guarding the area. They were watching for the morning to come. They were watching for the sun to rise. They were watching for things to happen in the cover of darkness. He says, more than they have diligence and more than they have vigilance in what they are doing, my soul is waiting on God more than they're waiting on the morning. My soul is trusting in God more faithfully than they are doing their job. Now, I understand we're not to be comparing ourselves. But listen, we ought to be waiting on God and watching, being on alert for the things that He has in our lives. You see, when you pray, you ought to watch to see how God's going to provide. When we pray and ask God to do certain things, why is it so often, Brother Roberto, we pray for things and then we don't expect God to do it. So we don't look for it. We just pray, God, would you do this? And then we go on our day. We say, God, would you send me somebody to witness to and share the gospel with? And then we go throughout our day and we pass 500 people in Walmart and 14 people as we're going to the gas station. We pass all these different people and we never once give them a track. God provided all those different people for us to talk to, but we didn't. I was doing some sparking last week. Brother Brandon, he said, I saw you in Walmart, but you didn't see me. And I even yelled your name. I don't think you heard me. I was like, brother, I was on a mission. I was focused. I had my earbud in. I was moving. But that's how we get. God takes and He sends people our way and He has people in our midst and we completely overlook everybody. We completely miss opportunities that God gives us. Why? Because we're distracted by what we're doing. Are you listening? Again, this is a simple message. Our wait is to be steadfast. You see, when you're waiting and you're anticipating something, you're looking and you're checking the time. You see, you got a kid who's waiting for somebody they haven't seen, a friend of theirs, a family member to come over. And they're constantly checking the time. When will they be here? When will they be here? When will they be here? What are they doing? They're anticipating. They're steadfast in the wait. They're looking forward to something. When's the last time you prayed like that? Now, this convicts me. It may not convict you, I don't know, but it convicts me. When was the last time I prayed diligently looking for God to answer that prayer? I pray and ask God to do something. Say, God, is this the person you wanted me to meet? God, is this the person that you want me to witness to? God, is this the person? I see somebody over there. Is that somebody you want me to witness to? Do we diligently look for the answers? Are we steadfast here in our waiting for God? See, our conduct is to be one who's waiting. And that wait ought to be steadfast. Ready to do what God has called us to do. Ready to receive the answer that we've been asking for. Sometimes we ask for God to do things, but then we're oblivious when He does it. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that He didn't do it. It means that we can't thank Him because we didn't recognize it. So then we're not going to be able to be thankful. And we're going to think that God failed us and didn't answer. When in all reality, God answered us. We just weren't diligent. We weren't watching. Here, our conduct is to be one who's waiting. Our cries directed to the Lord. Our cleansings to be received from the Lord. Our conduct is waiting on the Lord. Then lastly, our confidence is to be hoping in the Lord. Look at verse 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You see here, we see a real hope. It says, let Israel hope in the Lord. He was saying, Israel has somebody that they can rely on. Israel has somebody they can look to. Let me tell you, in your Christian life, if it seems like everybody else has left you, you have somebody you can rely on. You have somebody that you can look to, and His name is God. His name is Jesus Christ. Here, this is a real hope. But also, notice, it's a responsive hope. He says, with the Lord there is mercy. With Him is plenteous redemption. So here, when we hope in God, God gives us mercy. We hope in God, God can redeem us through the problems that we're facing. This is not an exhaustive list of what God can give us. But you realize that God gives us mercy every day. God gives us grace every single day. God gave us grace for salvation, but listen, God gives us grace for service as well. For good Christian living, God gives us grace every day of our lives. He gives us more and more grace every opportunity we get. God gives us love every day. God gives us joy every day. Why am I so miserable? Because you choose to be. If we're living in the Christian life the way we should, we'll be a joyous Christian. We can rejoice in the hope that God has given us. We can rejoice that, listen, it only gets better from here. This is the worst it's going to be, praise God. It's going to get better. Let Israel hope in the Lord. There's a responsive hope. But then notice, verse 8, there's a replete hope. It says, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The word replete means a fullness. So here, there's a full hope. It says, He would redeem Israel from, notice the word, all his iniquities. Meaning that there's not one thing that God will not redeem you from. There's not one thing that God will not forgive. Here, there's not one thing that God cannot fix in your life. God could do anything. Here, been free from all your iniquities. And then also, lastly, there's a redeeming hope. It says, He shall redeem Israel. You see, you pray, you're begging God for certain things. God's going to work things out in your life according to His purpose, according to His plan. We just got to trust in Him. We've got to learn how to wait. There are three answers God will give you to every prayer. One of three answers. He'll either say yes, He'll say no, or He'll say wait. I said this to the Sunday school class a minute ago. I'm convinced, Brother Thoreau, we love the yeses. We love them. We can tolerate the no's. If that's what God says, we'll tolerate. We may not like it, But we'll tolerate the no's. But one thing that in the Christian life we choose not to accept are the waits. When God says wait, we say, no, I'm going to do it my way. And we go and try to figure it out. And so we don't want to tolerate the wait. When God doesn't do something like we think He should do it, and when we think He should do it, then we go and we do whatever we want to do. And then we wonder why our lives are in a mess. Because God's trying to provide. He's trying to do a work, but we're over here messing it up. What is that we tell our kids? If you would have just listened to me in the first place, wives, isn't that what you tell your husbands? If you'd have just listened to me to begin with, I wonder how many times God looks at us and says, boy, if you'd have just listened, if you'd have just waited, if you'd have just been patient. Yeah, that word we all hate. Just been patient. If you just wait, I'll work it all out. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Waiting on God is not permission to be lazy. It's not permission to be lazy. When you wait, you're busy serving God and doing God's will. But you're leaving the results up to Him. You're not trying to manufacture the results yourself. That's the difference. Here, as we're waiting on God, remember, our cries are to go to God. When you're waiting on God, don't just complain to everybody else. Go to God. He's the one that can fix it. He's the one that can take care of it. We had a sign, I've shared this many times before, on the secretary's desk at our Christian school, when Brother Tarr was the principal. It said, tell others the sunshine, give Jesus the rest. You see, if we overwhelm everybody with all of our problems all of the time, we're going to lose all of our friends. You're going to be negative Nelly, negative Nancy, negative Nimrod, whatever. Nobody's going to want to talk to you. But here we can go to God for anything and everything in our lives. Our cries ought to be directed to Him. Our cleansing comes from Him. This is who we should cry out to. Why? Because that's where our cleansing comes from anyway. He's the one that can fix it, not us. Our conduct is to be waiting on God. As you're praying, wait, serve, trust, walk with God. And then our confidence is hoping in the Lord. As you're waiting on God to answer, start looking. Start looking. Is this how God's going to answer it? Is this what God's going to do? Maybe God's going to provide in this way. You see, as you begin to look for the answers of God, you know what that does? That helps you to anticipate the answer. That gets you excited about God working in your life. And then when He does it, then you'll be able to give God the praise and the glory for what He does. Why? Because you were looking for it and you recognized it. And you know what that does? That grows your faith in God. It grows your faith in God. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. What's God doing in your life that God wants you to wait on? What's God trying to do that He's trying to get you to be patient about? I don't like to wait. Okay. God doesn't care if you like to wait or not. God's still going to do what God does. He's trying to teach us patience in the process. We live with heads bowed and eyes closed. We live in a world of instant gratification where you can have anything at the touch of a button. And our smartphones have made it that much worse. And I understand that. But God's answers to your prayers aren't going to show up in an Amazon delivery box. His answers to your prayer are sometimes going to show up in the secret place. When you're on your knees, bowed before a holy God, with your Bible open, stained with tears, because you're begging God to do something. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning, I wonder how many of you say, Brother Terry, somewhere in that message God spoke to my heart, would you raise your hand? Got hands all over Him. God bless you for it. We're going to pray for you, okay? But maybe, you're not seeing God do things in your lives because you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If there's anybody here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I want to encourage you, Brother Nick's up here in the front. Come to him this morning. He'll show you from the Word of God how you can get saved, how you can trust Jesus Christ, how you can begin that fellowship, that walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us.